fighting for America.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. We rejoice that our new members and families are here. We will welcome them. We're glad and humbled to begin anew as servants of the people's house.
Fighting for Idaho.
Would you be willing to advocate for a tax increase to improve the school budget situation?
I will tell you that I am interested in exploring every opportunity for increased revenue for our schools.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, you're an excellent resource and advocate for gun rights. And you help people hear these issues and understand them and get the word out.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, I drive in from Star every day just like you do. And when I'm sitting there on State Street and Old Highway 55 at the stoplight in my Ford pickup that gets about 15 miles to the gallon, somebody in an electric car pulls right up next to me. I'm paying 25 cents every 14 or 15 miles I drive because they have an electric car, and God bless them for that effort. But they're not paying the same price that I am. And so I think one of the things that we need to do is we really need to make sure that there's equal pay for equal use.
Good morning. That was Governor Otter about, six or seven months ago here at 580 KIDO, actually in June. And we were talking about, you know, what we can expect in the next legislative season. How good are we here at prognosticating the political future? Well, we were predicting this could happen in June. Now, remember, the governor talked about this in the campaign and said, you know, we'll see what happens. We've tried that route, obviously, the roads and bridges, but that will have to come from the legislature. So are we going to see a rise in the price of gasoline, whether it's real or whether it's the state? Let's take a listen to our friends at Channel 7. By the way, if you're just tuning in, my name is Kevin Miller, live local talk about the issues that impact you here in Idaho and around the country and all over the world. Each and every morning, we go to our correspondents, whether they're in London, whether they're in the Middle East, whether they're across the country. And, we don't forget that we're here serving you, our constituents, each and every morning in the Treasure Valley. Phone numbers 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. For the first time in many, many years, we're sitting back going, hoo-hoo, gas is this low. In fact, our friend Doug Petcash of the big Channel 7 was on the Facebook saying, I never thought... Let me see if I can get Doug's quote correctly. I never thought I would live to see the day when gas was, a $1.90 or something? $1.90. The last time that happened was when George W. Bush was in office and gasoline was at $1.84. But because gas prices are low, are you willing to pay more?
If you use it, you pay for it. So if you use the roads and bridges by driving on them, it would seem to make sense to him that drivers would pay to improve them with possible increased vehicle registration and, something no one likes to hear, a little higher gas prices through an increased gas tax. There will be plenty of big issues debated in the legislature this upcoming session, and many people, like political analyst Dr. Jim Weatherby, expect one of those issues will be improving Idaho's transportation infrastructure.
We have 700 bridges in this state that are deficient, thousands of roads that are beyond repair. And this price tag that we've known about for several years of $260 million-plus keeps adding up. Something has to be done, I believe.
According to Weatherby, that price tag is why lawmakers who would love to improve Idaho's roads and bridges haven't done much about it. Idahoans would have to foot that hefty bill through increased car registration fees and a higher gas tax. Fundamentally, Idaho's conservative legislature shies away from tax increases of any kind. But if it were to ever happen, now might be the time. Idaho currently has gas prices lower than the national average and lower than they've been here in 6 years.
I think that might be an opportunity. I mean, there is this ideological resistance to any kind of tax increase on the part of a significant number of legislators. But if there was ever an opportune moment, it would seem now with the gas prices so low. And the recognition that the 25-cent gas tax that we had as of 1996 has shrunk to about 17 cents in purchasing power today.
There we have it from Channel 7. And Dr. Weatherby, heck, we had this before Dr. Weatherby. We had this before Channel 7. We told you about this last legislative season, where look for the gas tax. The only reason why we didn't have the gas tax last time around, because there was an election going on, right? So, very simple, at 580-5436, the roads are falling apart, the bridges are falling apart. Then why are we doing massive construction projects in Meridian every other week? Ron Paul Jim with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Yeah, this you know these gas prices are short-lived, right?
Exactly.
I mean, this is simply they're playing economic warfare with the oil prices against Iran and Russia, and those that stood in the way of invading Syria and Iran, all their war plans. And because if they had not stood in the way, every time we threatened to go in there and had some sort of crisis, the prices skyrocketed. But then suddenly when it's ISIS, the ones that we armed and trained and funded, created, well, you know, gas prices are going the other way because they don't want anyone to pay attention to the template they usually use. They want this one to look like a humanitarian crisis. And that, you know, Russia is somehow bad, so they had to create more. You haven't heard a thing about that jet being shot down in Crimea, right? Kind of odd, you know?
Well, it was in the news and out of the news.
Well, that's because it wasn't Russia. They don't want anyone to look any closer and do it. You know, not the major masses, you know, people that have been following it. Know that it was not Russia that shot it down, and it was the fighter jets, because they released the fighter jets from the other side. Because
sure, well, let's not get too deep in international waters. Back to Idaho. Look, I don't want you to answer this question, but I do. How stupid do the people in Boise think we are?
Well, it just cracks me up that. Butch Otter is actually arguing for a fair tax. You know, it just blows my mind. And this, the value of the tax now that's gone from 25 to 17 cents is not the fault of the people. It's the fault of the government inflating our currency. So the value is shrinking because we're on this trying to run up a down escalator all the time. Our currency is falling all the time. You can't hold on to it. You got to get away from it. And that's the crux of the problem right there, the value of our currency. And
well, indeed.
So I'm really surprised that that Butch Otter is sounding more and more like a progressive liberal than any sort of conservative that he pretends to be.
All right, Ron Paul Jim. Let's go to TPB, Tea Party Bob, Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Kevin, you kind of struck a nerve when you started talking about the gas prices, because I just finished an article for the next issue about that. And,
the Gem State Patriot.
You know, when you take a look at what's been going on, there's really not that big a glut of gas that's out there, and you've seen a lot of the people who are drilling for the oil stop drilling for it. So we're going to see prices continue to drop until we're finished with this glut, which could take maybe 6-9 months, and then you're going to see prices come right back again. This is just, you know, it's kind of a blip in the middle of everything that's been going on. You can't go from paying $3.50 a gallon or $3.75 a gallon down to $2 and not have anything happen. When you look at what's going to happen in the industry itself, $400 billion of our economy was attached to the oil industry over the last 5 years.
Well, let's go back to Weatherby's comments, though, where we've got the roads, the bridges, woo-hoo-hoo. All of a sudden, they're crashing, and not to belittle the tragic state of infrastructure, but they've been not up to snuff for many, many years.
Yeah, but they've been taking money out of the federal fund for years
and
using it for other purposes.
You see,
everybody knows that.
You know that, and I know that. And what people don't know is that whether it's the state fund or the federal fund, many states, and you would know more about Idaho than I at this point, use that money to either balance the general fund or use it for pet projects. And then they come back and say, oh, we need more money, when if they would just use the money for the roads and bridges, we wouldn't need to raise the gas tax.
Well, two things to consider. First of all, when they did the survey, and I think it was the University of Idaho did the survey, or maybe the contractors paid the money for them to do it. They found that most people don't consider our roads in bad shape. Now, of course, we have bridges that are getting dilapidated. They haven't been fixed in a lot of years. But we're already paying 25 cents a gallon in this state for tax. You pay 25 cents state, you pay 18.4 cents in federal, and now the feds want to raise us by 12 cents, and the state wants to raise us by 6 cents. That takes us up to 61.4 cents a gallon. That's a 42% increase. And you know who's going to get hit by that?
Well,
the middle class is going to get hit by that.
Look, not only that, but let's face it. I find it ironic that we're looking at raising the gas tax in Idaho. They would have done it last time, but there was an election. They're looking at doing it federally because they think we're stupid. And maybe after the last election results, they may be right.
You know, even a governor talks about these hybrid cars. There's no way to really put your finger on how you're going to make this tax a level tax for everybody that uses the roads. Because eventually it always comes back to the consumer and the middle class guy who has to drive to work, who has to take their kids to school, has to go out to get their food at the grocery stores. These are the people who are going to get hurt again. It's not going to be the wealthy, and it's not going to be the poor. It's those people that can't afford to upgrade to these new hybrid cars and can't afford to buy the electric cars. They still got the old ones, and they're still...
Well, but you're going to get hosed on the electric cars, too. See, I don't think that's right. The feds want you to buy these cars. The feds want you to do these great things, and they'll give you a tax break. But then they're going to, and look, the governor was very honest in his comments. We're the only one that has him on record saying this. It's not a gotcha moment. It's an honest moment where he goes, look, I drive a big truck. I don't think it's fair. Well, you get the advantages of driving the big truck.
That's true.
The big truck tears up more of the road than my little sedan.
Well, that's true. And again, I think this is just one conundrum that they're going to have to sit down and try to figure out, because I can't figure out a way that you can charge a tax equally to everybody who has the advantage of having these roads. And it's not just the people that use them. It's the manufacturers. It's the school. Everybody has a play in these roads and
if
the infrastructure.
If we all just stayed at home and did nothing and listened to this radio, we'd live in a better world.
Well, there you go. No, I'm happy for doing that, but I have to go out this morning.
All right, we're going to charge you a usage fee. Thank you, Tea Party Bob.
Have a good day.
All right, there we have it. But at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Look, Idaho has, I think, per capita, the most people that drive pickup trucks in America. It certainly seems that way to me. And maybe I have a lack of testosterone complex. No, I'm not going to go get the testosterone replacement, Sweet William. I was bad enough in my 20s. I don't need to go back there, and certainly the people listening don't need that guy either. However, at 580-5436, you're driving a big truck. You're pulling your ATV. You're pulling your trailer. You're going camping. Hey, these are good times. If only this were the summer, can you imagine how much more boating would be going on at Lake Lowell and other places up in McCall and the like? I mean, you talk about a boom in recreation. However, do you buy that the gas prices are going to stay this low? Now, all of a sudden, there's a big rush to make sure that we get the money. What happens if gas goes up to $3? Oh, my. And the gas tax is, an extra 5 cents a gallon. That adds up. Now, is business and industry going to pay their fair share? I mean, how many times you're driving down the road? Maybe you're heading to Mountain Home. I don't know. Maybe you're driving in between here in Canyon County, what have you, Gem County. And what do you see? You see the big truckers. God bless the truckers. We love the truckers. They're on the road. Boop, boop, boop. BJ and the Bear. However, those tear up the roads as well. Maybe you don't like the people in the electric cars. I know Jim from Star. He's always ripping me for my love of the Prius. So let's talk about that. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Is it time to pony up to pay for the roads? Speaking of roads, time for traffic. It is...
You may have some extra money in your wallet with gas at under $2 at many gas stations in Idaho.
It's a relief. $1.91 is not too bad. It's a lot better than what it was.
After 12 weeks of changing very little, we now have a big drop at the pump.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. To those of you that love the Idaho Press Tribune, our old friend Mike Butts, I guess, down there in Arlington at the University of Texas, or, well, not Arlington, Austin. He's a Longhorn now, apparently. I was looking at his Facebook comments. Prices have gone up in Ada County. Our gas prices have gone up enough in Ada County that people are heading west for cheaper houses. Hasn't this been the case for decades? Why is this news? Well, Mike, I agree with you to a point. On the other hand, now people can afford it. Let's go back to the phones and ask you the question and get your answers on whether or not you support a gas tax. I would say no. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. I'm just sitting here at the pump filling up and thinking about your question. And with our cheaper gas prices, I do notice that I am driving more, and it makes me think that the more I'm driving, the more gas I'm using, and for every gallon I'm burning, they are collecting that gas tax. So there are increased revenues coming from that gas tax. I wonder why they think they, you know, should be able to increase that.
Well, they need more money.
More than more?
That's the deal. I mean, you bring up a good point. On the other hand, let's face it. Let's go back to our interview with the governor in June.
You know, I drive in from Star every day just like you do. And when I'm sitting there on State Street and Old Highway 55 at the stoplight in my Ford pickup that gets about 15 miles to the gallon, somebody in an electric car pulls right up next to me. I'm paying 25 cents every 14 or 15 miles I drive. Because they have an electric car, and God bless them for that effort, but they're not paying the same price that I am. And so I think one of the things that we need to do is we really need to make sure that there's equal pay for equal use.
What do you make of the governor's proposal, equal pay for equal use?
Well, it's how do you possibly regulate that use? You know, I mean, I think it's just too much to try to get everybody to come down and you know, get their odometer readings. And, I mean, it's just more regulation to try to collect more tax. And
well, not only that, but, okay, equal pay for equal use. Well, you have the electric car that weighs, let's say, 3,000 pounds, and you have the truck that weighs 8,000 pounds, which is harder on the roads.
And then do you follow around the guy that's doing burnouts at the stoplights and, you know, that's doing more wear and tear to the roads than the guy that's driving the heavier truck? Or, you know, it's just there's no way to keep tabs on everybody.
Well, and then here's another one that, you know, after we've done that, then all of a sudden we've got to go after the big trucks, and then they're just going to pass it on to us, and the cycle continues.
Yeah, I mean, the semis, they burn more fuel also, you know, and they've got a lot heavier weight loads than these bigger trucks that might be hauling, you know, work-related equipment or stuff like that. You know, they could be hauling their equipment for doing dirt work or, you know, hauling, like you said, their boat. You know, if you're pulling any kind of load, you're going to be doing more wear and tear on the roads. But I said there's just no way you can go around and keep tabs on everybody without, you know, becoming a police state, you know, and just heavily regulating everybody.
Steve, thank you for the call.
You bet. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436. Mark my words, and I said this the last time the legislature was in session, the price of gas is going up. The only issue here is that last time around, the election scared them off. Now the politicians are liberated to deep into your pocket. And don't be fooled by the idea that gas prices are going to stay this way for a long time. They're not. Our great friend Doug in CUNA with Kay Milley at 580-KIDO. Hey, Doug.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, Happy New Year, by the way.
Yeah, back at you. You know, people don't look at the disparity between gas and diesel unless you do drive a diesel rig. And right now, I am paying a little over a dollar more a gallon for gasoline. And a lot of that is in taxes that I have to pay and all the big rig drivers have to pay the same thing. And so we are, as big truck drivers or, you know, heavier duty truck drivers, we're paying more than our fair share, I think, for wear and tear as far as the taxes. And the thing that really gets me is diesel is a byproduct from the manufacture of gasoline. And we end up paying more per gallon for diesel.
I remember the old days when, I remember the old days when diesel was cheaper than gas. It was a good deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Back when I bought my pickup, or my first diesel rig, heck, gas was, I think, 50 cents a gallon more expensive than diesel. And now, you know, I'm paying a dollar more a gallon. And it's almost all the time.
Well,
and it's ridiculous.
You're right, Doug. Doug, thank you for the call. We can thank the environmental wackos for that one. To Dave in Nampa with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin. I think we do probably have an immediate situation where we need to take care of some roads, but I think in the long term we need to figure out a way to watch what's already being spent.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a good share of our budget, I'm sure, is probably going to that, but it's, whether it's road repair or whether it's education or whatever, I know there's funds that are probably really being wasted in administration and other things that could be focused towards the problem that we're talking about right here without having to raise anything. So I think somehow we've got to figure out that the thing we should watch is not the person necessarily spending the fuel, but we need to watch our government a little bit closer and have maybe an ombudsman that's an accountant or something that reports to people about where every dollar is being spent. Figure out how we turn that around in all of the areas.
Dave, good point. Thank you for the call. By the way, the governor, 4 years ago, actually had the budget broken down on the website, and 70 people, not making this up, 70 people actually logged on to give a run at auditing the state budget. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
We were going to work together after the battle was over. Then we're told it's not over. And it's one thing when you get hurt on your own exercise equipment, but it's another when your own speaker does it to you. So,
are you concerned, sir? Are you concerned because Politico is actually reporting that more punishment is likely to come for others at Cross Boehner? Are you worried about your own future there?
No. If I woke up someday and was told, well, you're out, your party turned against you, so you lost the election, I would literally be able to say, thank you, God, I thought I was going to have to keep doing this job.
There we have it. Representative Gohmert opining about the beating he's taking and going to take for having the audacity to go after the speaker. Finally, order has been restored in the House. Speaking of the Sergeant-at-Arms, our Sergeant-at-Arms, Rachel Sutherland, joining us from Fox News Radio.
I haven't quite risen to that level yet, Kevin.
Boy, well, I'll tell you, Rachel, Louie's a little bummed out. You know the deal. You've done this a million times. If you don't kill the king, the king's going to get you.
Well, and John Boehner is on fire. He is not a happy House Speaker at this point, although I think he'll get over it soon enough. But some of these defectors, people who wanted to take his gavel away or wanted someone else to be in charge, there's a little bit of a payback time. We have the two Florida congressmen, Daniel Webster, also Rich Nugent. They've been removed from their post on the Rules Committee. That might not be the most exciting committee to be on, but it is a powerful one.
Yeah.
And also a third, Tim Healthcamp of Kansas. He claims that within an hour of sending a tweet with his intent to vote against Boehner, he got a phone call, ringy-ding, and there was someone on their line who he wanted to identify saying, well, that subcommittee post you wanted, forget about it.
Here you go, Rachel. Let's put it into terms that a lot of folks can really figure out, that promotion you wanted or your job, but we're going in a different direction. Well, good. Yes. What direction are we going in? The one without you.
Right. Kevin, yeah, we're just going in a different direction. I don't know if that was actually what was said, but that would be funny. But you know what? John Boehner, in the past when this has happened, and this isn't the first uprising against him, he sort of just shrugged his shoulders about the whole thing and just dealt with it. In this case, he seems to be taking this a little more seriously and is upset. I don't think that it'll last for long. It looks like a temper tantrum that will blow over because they have a lot to do. Right now, they're going to be taking up the Keystone XL pipeline legislation, expected to get through the House by tomorrow. And, you know, the message that he appears to be sending is that, hey, you know, we need to have everybody on the same page, and if he can't do it through a pep rally, he'll do it this way.
Hey, our guy learned a lesson, Raul Labrador here. He led the coup the last time, and he was a good boy this time.
Right, Raul Labrador, he was one of the ones who did try to unseat Boehner.
The majority whip.
Exactly. I stand corrected, the majority whip. Yeah, that was just recently. And it did show with that election when they chose Kevin McCarthy that Republicans were going to be going in a more traditional way. So that's continuing. But I do think there's this vocal minority of Tea Party or hardline conservatives that want their voices heard, and I think they'll continue. But John Boehner, he doesn't look like he's going to back down either. Whether if you want to call him tenacious or stubborn, it's up to you.
Depends on who does the better messaging. But are we going to see Louie and the rebels do anything else? Is there any way that perhaps the speaker will come back and say, okay, instead of giving you that closet in the basement where the heat's on all the time, perhaps we can give you a better office here?
Well, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
The basement's it's an okay place at the Capitol. I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time in the basement of the Capitol. They have a nice little eatery. But other than that, I think that, you know, watching this Congress, they'll probably get on the same page because they'd have to have a lot of infighting not to get legislation passed that all of them want, like the pipeline, to move that on over. The question is, can they get that two-thirds majority to be able to override a veto, which the White House has now promised? So that's what they need to do, and they have been reaching out to Democrats, like West Virginia's Joe Manchin, who's a little bit more of a moderate Democrat, and they would need more guys like him, but I don't know how many more guys there are like Joe Manchin in Congress.
Well, and then you have the president deciding, well, Joe, we're going to have a little talk about some appropriations for your state, West Virginia.
Well, and that could happen too.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of this that goes on. And then people throw up their hands and they wonder why nothing ever gets done. But in this case, I do think that it'll be a case of legislation moving through the White House, the president deciding whether or not to sign it or whether to issue executive orders. And by the way, he's on his three-day round of trips to states talking about what's coming up in the State of the Union. Aides calling it the State of the Union spoiler trip. And there could be the possibility of announcing more executive actions. So that's his other weapon. I mean, he's got the veto pen, and he's got his phone in his pen, and that's pretty much it.
Rachel Sutherland with us, Fox News Radio. You know, I could go on and on and on about office space and rebellion and everything else. You think the fuel tax will get any steam before we let you go here?
You know, I'm not sure about that one. I'm not hearing a lot about it. It seems like right now the two top agenda items for Congress is Keystone Pipeline and also this fight looming over immigration. Certainly that's something that will come up, but I just don't think it's right on the top of the plate right now.
Indeed. Well, Rachel, until President Underwood speaks, we'll be talking to you.
All right, Kevin, thanks.
Thank you. There we have it, Rachel Sutherland from Fox News Radio, 647 or 746. There we go, the old dyslexia kicking in here at 580KIDO. Coming up, you've heard about the federal proposal to raise your gas taxes. We've talked about the state proposal. Your reaction next. Because you drive a big vehicle, should you have electric vehicle envy? I'll explain next. First, traffic at 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
From Star every day, just like you do. And when I'm sitting there on State Street and Old Highway 55 at the stoplight in my Ford pickup, that gets about 15 miles to the gallon, somebody in an electric car pulls right up next to me. I'm paying 25 cents every 14 or 15 miles I drive because they have an electric car, and God bless them for that effort. But they're not paying the same price that I am. And so I think we, one of the things that we need to do is we really need to make sure that there's equal pay for equal use.
Equal pay for equal use. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We go to Tom, Tom Munns at 580 KIDO. Hello, Tom.
Then doggy pony show continues. Boy, I tell you what, with that, with the Fed, with the Republicans, huh, Kevin?
Well, both nationally and locally.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what, forgive me, you know, maybe for my ignorance here, but it, that equal pay for equal use sounds a little more like communism to me. You know, when he pulls up and says that he says that because he wants to drive a truck that drives 15 miles to the gallon, and somebody pulls up in an electric car, God bless his efforts, now he wants to punish him? You know, I mean, I guess I just don't get it, you know? The one thing I think is, remember when I was talking about Common Core the school bonds and about what we need to do in order to be able to pass the bond to be legitimate?
Yes.
To be able to do a, you know, an audit and all that?
I was just talking to Ray Amaya about that conversation the other day.
Yeah, you know, one of the things to consider for me is that, you know, when we look at the revenue from the taxpayer that the federal government receives, I think I had read some emails about the fact that they receive $15 trillion. You know, and then the other thing to consider is, why are they considering to tax us when all they need to do is ask the Fed to print more money? So when you start putting these things together, well, maybe it's just me. I'm sitting in a corner by myself looking like an idiot, scratching my head going, something doesn't make sense here. You know, if we rely on the federal government for money, which we never should be doing in the first place, it's unlawful, and acting that way makes the states act unlawfully because it's outside of the federal government's jurisdiction. Why do we allow these things to continue to happen?
Yeah, well, but, let's get back to the ignorant factor here. We allow them to happen because, look at the latest rebellion in the state, the latest rebellion in the House. The majority wins, the money wins. So how do you combat the money? Well,
you know what the states can do? The states can grow a dang backbone, and they can say, you know what, we're going to try to figure out a way to fly on our own and not take federal funding, number one, because the federal government's being co-opted by a higher source anyway.
Who's going to do that?
But the thing related to the...
Yeah, but who's going to do that?
What?
Who's going to do that, Tom? Come on.
Well, and we
besides the Dakotas, because they have all the money in the world.
And we don't really want somebody in there anyway, because, you know, I ran for office and nobody wanted to vote for me because I was scary. So... You know,
well, Tom, when you call the teachers whatever and the kids slaves and you're running for the Middleton School Board.
Yes.
Now you're not going to win the electorate there.
Well, now, you know, I have...
You know, you need someone to massage your image like me.
I have become somebody that has admitted that I have come on rather aggressive, and people have seen a change in the fact that I've become a little more refined and a little more professional at times. And so I'm hoping for that to continue. But the bottom line is, you know, when you were dealing with the issue that you have with the roads, you know, it's all about a misappropriation of funds. It's not about equal pay. And
wow.
All that. We've already got boxes in our car. They're going to charge us per mile anyway. They just haven't been hooked up yet. The federal government that's what they're working on. So, yeah.
Right.
You know,
but back to it. I mean, you know, the reason why this didn't happen is because there was an election. Tom, thank you for the call. If you're just tuning in, you know, maybe you drive a big truck. Maybe you drive an SUV. Maybe you drive a sedan like Kevin Miller. Still got to pay for gas. Some of these cars today, they get 38 miles to the gallon. And we're not even talking the hybrids or anything. It's incredible. And if you go to, Albertsons or Fred Meyer or any of these stores, and by the way, we always want to support locally owned and operated Winco. But you go to some of these places and you get the pennies off, you could do quite well. It makes it worth going to that place. And think of the profit that they must make because they still, you know, they're not giving you the gas at a loss, right? But back to this point at 580-5436, how many people are dependent on vehicles to get to and from work? And what type of message do you send? Is it a feeling of frustration that you have, what is it, the state 80% Republican? And you have Republicans in the state of Idaho? Possibly, I mean, the libs aren't going to do anything. They're neutered. I mean, you might as well not even have an opposition party in the state of Idaho. So you go to the Republicans and you go, look, man, I'm a small business person. I do sidewalks. I do landscaping, like our friend Pat from Middleton. Well, you should be able to afford to pay because gas is $1.80, $1.90. Yeah, what happens next year when it's $3.50 again? And then you add, you know, the federal increase. Is it a wonder? And, you know, call it the Illuminati. Is it a wonder that we, you know, take a look at these things and think to ourselves, gee, gas prices are historically low, and you have the federal government along with Idaho's government saying, might be time to raise taxes. Taxes should be the last thing we look at, right? Wouldn't that be, well, I guess if you're in small business, you could just pass it on to the consumer, but they might go somewhere else. Let's talk. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, time 59:29 in notice. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO, coming up next. Fox News on the radio. And we'll talk a little bit about road safety, delve into some other issues, and getting back to this issue in Paris, France, where you have these people killed because they made fun of someone. Should a joke give you the death penalty? And why don't we expedite the killers here? Details next. Kevin Miller.